You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's good to be with you. And as I always like to say, with our listeners out there, wherever they are.
We'll kick off the show today with a couple of questions from our listeners, from Justin in Berkeley. Hi, Jim and Bob. Over the years, Bob has cited that the economy is in a depressionary cycle and prone to rolling over into deflation. Almost everyone I know is complaining about the cost of everything, food, restaurants, repairs, parts. I would wager that real price inflation is between 10 and 50%, if not more, not that 2% the government always likes to cite. What is his historical take on debt deflation and price inflation occurring in parallel? Except for some technology cost efficiencies, I never see a price go down in anything.
Yeah. We're in a great financial boom. And this is number six. The first one started with the South Sea Bubble in 1720. And all of them have typically similar identifying features. And one of them is that you have a great debt bubble, and then it becomes unsustainable. So with the debt bubble, you get a burst of inflation, which we're getting, and then once it kind of exhausts itself, then it comes down and you start a, well, you can call it a great recession. When it, over 20 years, it might be described as a great depression. So anyways, the history is on alignment for a serious contraction.
Hello, Bob and Jim. Hopefully all is well with you. If possible, I would like to ask a question. I just started to read Ray Dalio's newest book about debt cycles. It's very well researched. It represents probably Mr. Dalio's lifelong experience in the investment world. For subscribers of Pivotal Events, it resonates because it has a lot of parallels with Bob's research of monetary history. When it comes to the last phase of the debt cycle, where the debt can't be supported by the debtors anymore, Mr. Dalio suggests that this phase can be managed well as long as there's more or less an equilibrium between the restructuring and writing off of debt.
Yeah, and we should stop there.
Right. So everything's good as long as we have equilibrium?
Yeah, but the point that I just stated to the other question is that when you have had a great bubble, and they all have been remarkably similar, when the bubble is over, it is over, and everything comes down. And we have had, great headlines about this fabulous boom. And you've had pretty good numbers on charts on the way up here. So we have, without question, the greatest financial boom in history. Mm-hmm. And all previous great financial booms burned themselves out and then started to come down, and the coming down, all assets were bid up and all assets go down. So and then here one of the ironies is that recently, they got headlines about the Fed is going to cut the administered rates, and the street. This is very popular, as you understand, because they earnestly believe that declining interest rates is good. But if you take a look at financial history over the last few hundred years, short-dated rates, such as Treasury bills, go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. So short rates going up, and also will put in that the Federal Reserve does not set interest rate policy. It just rides along with what market forces are doing, trying to look as if they're in charge. So at any rate, interest rates going down is a very bad thing. and they go down with the post-bubble contraction can last for about 20 years. And within it, the usual 3 to 4 year business cycle continues, but each of the ups and recoveries are not that robust, and each of the downs are quite nasty. So this is what we're going into, and you don't want to have any debt at all. Now, Dalio's life, he says that the parallels to the research debt cycle, where the, anyways, we are in a debt cycle, and once it rolls over, and we're watching for that, then there will be a sharp contraction with falling interest rates and a recession, and it could lead to yet another what we could call a Great Depression. So, good question. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, as Bert points out, during the big crash in 1929, the New York Fed overdrew its credit limit 6 times without making a dent in the deflationary vortex.
Oh, yeah. Now, the in the early 60s, when interventionist economists got their hands on computers, they, to impose their ideas, they needed the Federal Reserve System. So then they build up the Fed as wonderful and all that sort of stuff, and said that the problems of the 1930s was that the Fed made an error. And then they also have this idea the Fed is the lender of last resort. And that goes back to about 1900. The movers and shakers then, Jim, understood that if you had a credit crisis, it would be followed by a recession. So they went, Eureka, and came up with the idea of a lender of last resort, i.e. the Fed, and there would be no more recessions. Now, the Fed was chartered in December 1913, so you can say they opened their doors for mischief in 1914, and there has been 18 cyclical recessions, including one Great Depression. So the Federal Reserve has had no influence on the path that financial markets usually take during bubbles. But what they have done, because they figure that every recession is going to turn into a depression, they've kept easing so that you take a chart of the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar and say it was at 100 in 1914, well, it's down, it'll only buy now about 2% of what it would buy in 1914. And that in itself, that decline in purchasing power of the dollar, is an incredible due diligence on all the stories about central banking. It just doesn't work. And so I think what's going to happen to the Federal Reserve is that the public's going to figure this out. And they're going to say, no, stop. Now, the way out, actually, historically, is there's no way that you're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. But you have to discipline it. And the best way to discipline it is put the U.S. dollar on being convertible into a fixed amount of gold. And then that reduces the mischief that governments and central banks can do. So at some point in the future, the U.S. will be, dollar will be convertible into a fixed amount of gold. And it'll be terrific, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Bert's final question, are today's central banks so powerful they can overrule such a deflationary accident?
Nope, they haven't. You've got to realize that the Federal Reserve has been a very considered as a very powerful agency. And before the Federal Reserve, it was the Bank of England. And London was the financial center. Pound was the senior currency, and you had the Bank of England running things. So that, and it faced the same problem: a long period of expansion, you know, genuine expansion, followed by maybe a decade of financial asset speculation, and then asset speculation crashes. And it all comes down. So you have these major, major events, and they follow a big burst of inflation, which we have had here now. And when the prices start to falter in here, it's going to lead into a serious recession, and it could be the start of another post-bubble Great Depression.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, the first headline comes from Zero Hedge. If socialists actually understood socialism.
Oh, that's just a wonderful headline. I applaud the author on that headline. Yeah, they don't understand what they're doing. They're just on an ardent emotional trip. So.
Well, is there a big confusion between socialism and communism, where you're forced to do stuff by an authoritarian, and, say, socialism, where in Canada we have government health care? The police, for example, I mean, that's socialism. You've hired a body to control law and order and so on. If you didn't believe in that, you wouldn't have any police.
Oh, yeah. No, you're...
Or fire
you have a government by common approval.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is the bureaucrats thrive, and then the government is taken over from the electorate and into the hands of the bureaucrats. Now, this is what people are discovering now and beginning to act against it. And also, at the same time, you have President Trump come along, who is out to reform big government. So it is, it's happened before. But I would say, going back to England's history, a couple hundred years, it has never had a leader as effective as Trump has been so far.
Mm. Well, has he dipped into socialism with the U.S. government buying a 10% stake into Intel?
It's hard to say. I'd have to study up on it, Jim, before I can answer that one.
From Zero Hedge, gold's 4K magnet. ETFs roar, officials keep buying. In other words, people want to see gold hit $4,000.
yeah, the $4,000 magnet. I like the line, yeah.
So is gold going to hit?
Oh, yeah, and the other part of that one is that officials keep buying. So whatever the excuse is, Officials, of course, mean central bankers. Mm-hmm. And there has been a list of central banks that have been accumulating gold. And why they're doing it, of course, we can't find that out. But the net result is they're doing the right thing, because throughout history, in either commercial banking or central banking, there's only one reserve, and that's gold.
Well,
so it's a good move.
Yeah, Russia and China have been snapping up as much gold as they can lay their hands on over the last 12, 13 years.
Yep, they've been buying gold. It's the right thing to do.
And Canada and the UK got rid of all their gold.
Oh, yeah. I remember that time, 87 or 88, in there was a financial crisis, and I think some important country was very short of gold and was having trouble covering, and this is where Canada, in order to join the group of seven or the group of 20 or whatever it was, their admission fee was Canada sell all their gold to kind of look after the authorities who were offside in gold. I remember writing about it at the time.
Is the attitude in Canada, we have so much gold in the ground, we don't need to stockpile it?
Oh, some may think that. But no, you have to have the gold in your commercial bank or in the central bank before it is a reserve. Gold in the ground is nobody's reserve.
From Zero Hedge, speculative fever is pitching higher across the stock market.
Oh, yeah. That is a top-of-the-market kind of headline. I love it, yeah.
FOMO going on? You got to be in it or you're not anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Got to be in. Get me in. GMI. And, I remember that when I started on the trading desk ages ago. In the bond market, it was GMI, get me in, and that would be a trust company coming in to buy the bond market near the top, and that was soon followed by a GMO, get me out.
And gold revaluation imminent? U.S. Treasury hoard tops $1 trillion for the first time. So Fort Knox must be loaded with gold.
Oh, I've mentioned this before, but it's a good time to bring it up. And it's not widely known, Jim, but all of that gold in the basement of Fort Knox has been turned by radon gas into lead. Remember years ago that people were worried about radon gas in basements? So radon gas in the basement of Fort Knox has turned the gold to lead.
And we'll see how many people fall for that, even though it's not April yet. Now, from Zero Hedge, markets detached from economic fundamentals.
Yep, that's a sign of great speculation, yeah.
So it doesn't matter what's happening on Main Street, on Wall Street. It's the good times are just popping, and so are the champagne corks.
Yeah, well, there's some big investor ages ago in the 1920s, and he said in those days in Wall Street there would be shoeshine boys, you know, in the front of office buildings and corners and whatnot, and people would, all men wore black Oxfords then, and it would be great to get your shoe shined and just in the street. And they said when you started getting stock tips from the shoeshine boy, it was time to get out.
Does that remind you of what's going on with Bitcoin? You got to hold Bitcoin. Bitcoin's going up, you know, $1,000 a day. You got to hold Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin due for a big crash, or will it see a big crash?
I think it's a market phenomenon, a great market phenomenon. And when this intense bull market is over, Even Bitcoin will go down. Because you had huge, important, high-tech stocks in history, in the 1873 bubble, it was Western Union Telegraph. And, Jim, get this. Western Union also provided the ticker tape service into offices. I mean, whoa, how exciting. Then in the 1929 bubble, the big high-tech darling was Radio Corp of America, RCA. And it went from something like $125 down to maybe $1.25. But it was, you know, big high-tech stocks. They become the darlings of a great bubble, and then they become turkeys.
Well,
speaking of which, Thanksgiving's coming up in Canada, isn't it?
I was just going to say that, Bob.
Get
the gravy ready for the 13th, yes.
Okay, now this is for our listeners. Years ago, out of a Look magazine, I got a serious recipe suggestion, and it was planked Spam. So you took a tin of Spam and put it on heated it, but put it on a wooden board. That's the planking. And then this illustration image has got you know, garnished with mashed potatoes all around and your green stuff on it and parsley. And oh, it's an incredible picture. A very serious recipe, planked Spam in a 1930. Edition of Look magazine. So there you are. Planked Spam.
Well, with the cost of everything nowadays, I think maybe planked Spam might be on the Thanksgiving menu.
I got her. If anybody wants that, let us know and we'll send you the image.
Right. So if you have any questions for Bob or would like that recipe for planked Spam, you can send your inquiry to info@howstreet.com. Bob, have a great weekend.
You too, Jim. I'm glad we got together. Yep.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Find us on X at Howe Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.